It can be hard to make major forward movement when you are in the day-to-day hustle of your business. That is one reason I go on regular work retreats to give myself time and space to dream big and execute my big plans for my business. So I'm pulling back the curtain to let you know all my tips and tricks for planning an effective work retreat from logistics to mindset on this episode of the Goal Get It podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Goal Get It podcast. I'm your host, Erin Hayworth. You're in the right place if you're an online women entrepreneur who is tired of constantly hustling, but you're still not reaching those big business and life goals. Each week, I'll share effective strategies for building, running, and up-leveling your profitable business, productivity hacks to help you maximize your limited time and energy, and some guidance on exactly how to tailor all that advice specifically to you and your business so you can start taking action on it immediately. So, are you ready to dive in? So, I have decided to begin pulling back the curtain and being totally transparent with different aspects of my business and what I'm calling behind-the-scenes episodes of this podcast. While I've always shared openly about my own business and haven't hidden anything, I know the value of intentionally taking a look at lessons as I'm learning them so you learn them as well. And this is one of those episodes. So let's dive into why business retreats matter and all the logistics and mindset in order to plan one effectively. Because it's not enough to say, oh, I'm going to take a business retreat and then just run off and do it. I mean, you can, but there's a way that you can do it where you're being most effective and really leveraging the time that you're setting aside. And the reason that that matters is, chances are, if you are a solopreneur, if you're an entrepreneur with a team, you are kind of running a little bit light on some of those resources, like money and like time. But as a CEO of your business, as a decision maker for your business, you need to have that time in order to dream and plan and map and visualize and work on the business rather than just always being in the business, right? Kind of getting that high level look at everything, right? And that's why business work retreats are amazing. I actually did a podcast episode on this not too long ago. It was episode 15, all about how to prepare your business to be gone. So if that is a question that you have as you start to think about work retreats and especially like getting away and getting out of the day-to-day, if that is a concern you have, I definitely suggest going and checking out episode number 15 of the Goal Get It podcast next. So when I say work retreat, I do mean a solo business retreat, okay? It will be just you. I mean, you can certainly invite other business owners if you so wish to, you know, enjoy the retreat space with you. But in this retreat, it's not a retreat in which you're going to be teaching or hosting a retreat. It's a retreat just for you, just to be clear. Okay, so when you're thinking about creating a retreat for you, the first thing that I do whenever I effectively plan is to decide what is my intention for this retreat. What is my vibe that I'm kind of going for? Because there's lots of different ways that you could hold one of these, and that's going to determine everything else that you do in planning one. Some of these things that I look at is, am I wanting to take a business retreat to plan out content? Am I wanting to just have some creative space and time where I'm not having to fulfill all of my daily roles and to free myself up to consider where my company could go? Maybe what the vision is or what the mission is or what the next five-year map might look like. Is this particular retreat going to be specific to getting clear on a client project? I haven't done that since I was doing done-for-you services several years ago, but that's for those of you that are interior designers, graphic designers, photographers, things like that. Maybe that's an intention for why you would want to take a work retreat. So once I understand what my intention is, why I feel like I need a retreat at any given time, then I decide what the vibe is. So the difference between this is the vibe could be, I want to be super productive. The vibe could be super chill and lay back and creative. It could be lots of different things. Many times, my retreats come after an intense push for something, after a launch or a conference or a business trip. So often the vibe is to decompress and envision how to incorporate new information into my plan moving forward. That's usually my intention. My vibe is creativity with a focus on rest and relaxation as well. So knowing that the vibe is very fluid and free and chilled, often to achieve that vibe, I want to not have to think about a whole lot of things or make a whole lot of decisions or even you know, get dressed up and put makeup on and things like that. I usually want to use the time that I have really specifically to map out some pieces of the business and what's next for me and how to integrate things. But knowing this, I then can plan all of my logistics. If I know what the vibe is, then I can start planning logistics because there's lots of different places that you could hold a retreat. There's lots of different ways that you can do it. But basing the logistics on how I want to feel and what the vibe is and what I want the retreat to do for me is a really good way to make sure that I'm achieving those things rather than booking something and being then trying to figure out how to make myself feel a certain way in that space. Whenever I go to start planning out logistics, I list out what are the things that I actually want to get done on any particular retreat. So that's a difference between the intention. The intention is a little bit more like overarching for the entire time. Individual things, I mean, some of mine have included mapping out developmental editing aspects for my forthcoming book, planning out how I'm going to modify my funnel, any new offers that I want to create, any offers that I want to modify, the things that I want to build out over the next 3 and 6 months, mapping out an entire year's worth of podcast episodes, writing an entire launch worth of emails and posts. Those are all things that I've done on retreats in the past. So intention, vibe, then we move into logistics, which includes what the things are that I actually want to get done. And then that leads into how long the retreat is going to be and where I'm going to hold the retreat. So knowing my intention, knowing my vibe, and knowing what I want to accomplish, then I can figure out how best I can do those things. Usually what happens is I get myself a bunch of post-it notes and supplies that I know I'll need to map stuff out. My retreats, they've been anywhere from 2 to 4 days. And I will usually book a hotel over booking an Airbnb, because at a hotel, I don't have to buy groceries or really think about a whole lot of things. I can just go down to the bar or the restaurant, get food, go back up. And that fits with the vibe that I've had for my own retreats, because I have everything that I need and I don't need to leave that comfy space, right? I don't have to make decisions about where I want to go eat, what kinds of things I want to cook. I don't have to spend energy cooking, things like that. So these are all things that are intentional. This is not by accident. I intentionally think through things so I don't have to think about it in the moment, right? I think about it ahead of time so I don't have to do it in the moment, so I can reserve all that energy for the intention of the actual retreat. I'm able to just kind of be in the space and use the giant windows or the big open walls that hotels usually have to use, you know, with my post-it notes for mapping. And if you follow me on social, you've probably seen some of these post-it note mappings as well. So in outside of business work retreats in everyday life, when I'm working day to day, I will schedule what needs to happen on what days and give myself some structure that way. When I'm in a retreat, I don't create an hour by hour schedule. I don't even create a day by day schedule. Okay. I know what I want to get done, but I give myself permission to work when I feel it during the retreats. And this is different than my day to day business time. So I make a loose plan in order to create a container that supports the intention and the vibe that I'm going for. And that plan, that loose plan, can change or shift or pivot, and that's totally fine. I've given myself the space to do that. But I know as I'm going in what the location, what the space, what the physical space is going to give me in order to give me the best chance of hitting the vibe, getting that intention, getting the things done that I need. Does that make sense? Awesome. So glad. So then after I decide how long a retreat is going to be, where I'm going to host it, kind of what the logistics are, then it's time to start setting some boundaries. Again, this is a behind the scenes episode, so I'm going to be totally honest with you. This last retreat that I went on in April of this year, it tested my ability to set boundaries a bit. That retreat was one that included a group retreat that I had signed up for with my coach that she was hosting. And then I tacked on 2 additional days at the end of that for my own solo retreat, again, to decompress and integrate everything I had learned before heading home. The reason I do that is because I have gone to enough conferences or I've gone to enough programs or things away and out of town. And whenever I rush straight back, everything that I learned in that space feels like I haven't integrated it properly because I go right back into day to day. I usually give myself some time at the end of programs, conferences, live events with other people to have this decompress and integration time. has a retreat. And when I first told my husband that I was going on that retreat and I was going to be gone for basically twice as long as the retreat was originally for, and when I say retreat, I mean the retreat that I signed up for versus my solo retreat. And when I told him that, I got some pushback. I'll be honest, I did, but I didn't let that stop me from setting the boundaries that I needed. Just because I didn't have to be gone that whole time because I was in a retreat with someone else didn't mean that it wasn't time and space that I needed it. And so I know as mom, as partners, as people who have other people relying on you, it's going to be easy to fall into the trap of not being gone more than you quote unquote have to, or feeling guilty for you taking time away for your stuff. And that's where this mindset piece comes in. Remember, I told you at the beginning of this episode, I would talk to you about logistics and mindset, and boundaries is really where mindset starts to come in. So when it comes to the mindset piece, when it comes to the guilt piece, just because you aren't directly interacting with somebody else, you're not directly affecting somebody else, doesn't mean that you are not doing things that need to be done. Just because you are not actively hustling or working with a client or doing whatever it is that is directly important to other people doesn't mean that it's not important, that it's not worth you taking that time. Even if your work retreat is focused on rejuvenating yourself, creative adventures, whatever it is, you taking time away is just as important as when you dedicate that time to other people. And I would even argue it's more important than you dedicating that time to other people. But if this is the first time where you've made that switch, or it's a process of making that switch, when you start changing the way that you interact with people, when you start changing the way in which you show up, that's going to trigger people, like it did with my husband. Whenever I said, I'm going to take an extra 2 to 3 days because I needed it, not because somebody else expected it of me. At this point in my life, in my business, I know what I need, and I'm willing to stand up for it. I didn't let his reaction deter me from saying and standing up for what I needed. Right? I can't control how he's going to respond, but I can stand up for myself and make sure that I'm standing in my truth and being exactly my own advocate and saying what it is that I need. So if this is your first time that you're doing a work retreat, there are going to be other people that have opinions about it. And you probably are going to want to be respectful of them. I know it's really easy to be like, well, forget their opinions. Well, that's not always... we don't do this in a vacuum, right? That doesn't always make sense. You want to be respectful of them. They're going to have opinions, but you also want to stand up for your own boundaries. So here are a few tips that you can use specifically whenever it comes to that. First of all, explain it in a way that makes sense to them. So if the people you're talking to, the people that are going to have those opinions about it, the people that actually need to know, if those people are not entrepreneurs, if they're not running a company, if they aren't the sole CEO or the sole decision makers for anything, they probably don't get that you need time and space to be able to think these things through in a totally different space away from the day-to-day crunch of things. Same goes for people that might have extroverted spouses, extroverted partners, extroverted parents, whatever it might be, and find themselves as introverts. As introverts, sometimes we can't gain the perspective that we need when we're around other people. So that alone time, that's what we need in order to gain the perspective that we need. People that don't recognize that perspective or people that don't identify as introverted, it's not their experience. And so they don't get it. And it's up to you to help them understand it. So another tip I have for you is to start small with a retreat, especially if it's something where it requires a lot of moving pieces for you to take some time away. It doesn't have to be a 2, 3, 4, or even 7 day retreat that you take at the very beginning, the very first time that you do this. You can start with just a day, like a night away. You get there at check-in and you check out the next day, again, 11 o'clock noon, and you use the time in that space as your retreat. It doesn't have to be long. It can be something that you build up over time and you get yourself used to and you get other people used to it as well. So there's one more final mindset tip that I will give you is to not fall into the trap of thinking that if you're taking time away and it's called a work retreat, that you have to work for 12 or 16 hour days in order to justify it or deserve it. That's not going to help you here. So often what happens is, especially if we're trying to justify it or feel like we deserve it, especially if other people have opinion, like, oh, well, you have to get the direct return on your investment. I've got to be able to see all the work that you're doing. If you're going to go away for 3 days and we're going to have to hire a babysitter and we're going to have to get additional help and I'm going to have to move around my schedule and all these other things. So often that pressure ends up pushing you to work 12, 16-hour days, and you come back from it not feeling rejuvenated, not feeling like the boss of your business, but just feeling like you just extended your workday, basically, right? And I want to caution you, I'm not saying that you can't work hard. If the point is to crank out 3 months worth of content and that's what you want to do, that's totally fine. But that doesn't necessarily require you to sit there and work for 16-hour days when you're on a retreat. And it's certainly not about feeling like you need to in order to justify it. That's a little bit on boundaries, both for yourself and for those around you. And I will say one final thing. If you've told somebody that you will not be available, if you have kids and you don't want to FaceTime them 3 times a day because it's going to take you out of that retreat mode, don't do it. Maybe do it once a day or do it once while you're gone and limit the time that you have, because it's up to you to not only create an intentional container to give you the freedom to do things that you need to do, but it's up to you to maintain the boundaries, to communicate those boundaries and then maintain those boundaries. Okay? So the last thing that I do when I'm planning an effective work retreat is really when I get ready to go. So all of this, the intention, the vibe, the list of things that I actually want to accomplish, the logistics, the boundaries, all of that can happen in advance. Really, whenever I'm getting ready to go, I create a packing list. And I do that to make sure that I'm bringing the things that I need in order to, again, fulfill that intention, fulfill that vibe, accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. So if you know you love post-it notes, like I do, I usually take a bunch of post-it notes, right? If you know that you have very specific coffee or tea or something like that, that you need your music or whatever it is, make sure you have those things with you. And that's a really good reason to have a packing list. There's nothing worse than getting to some place different that's supposed to be sparking creativity for you and getting ready to sit down and work, and you don't have all the things that you need to fulfill the intention and fulfill the vibe. So make sure you create a packing list that you can check everything off on, okay? And then finally, whenever I do arrive at a particular work retreat location, this isn't exactly planning. It's like a little bonus. It totally fits in. Whenever I get to a location for my work retreat, I will post on social media usually, and then I put my phone down. Now, I will take all the pictures, all the pretty Instagrammable pictures, and then I put my phone down, put it away for a while. I will unpack if I stay anywhere more than one night. That includes hotels, that includes Airbnbs, wherever I'm at. If I'm going to be staying more than one night, I will unpack and hang things in the closet and put things in the drawers, put my shampoo and conditioner in the shower and put all the things where they go, because that's how I feel settled. It helps whenever I'm trying to create an intentional vibe. I bring out all of my stuff that I'm going to work with and make it readily available for me. I kind of set up the space. If I need to go grab provisions or anything like that on the way, I will spread all those out. And then I give myself the opportunity to ground into the space and get used to it. Now, that sounds super woo, but it doesn't have to. It's just about how do I create a ritual for myself to feel like the space isn't foreign, basically, that it feels the way that I need it to feel. Usually for me, what that looks like is eating a meal, taking a bath, maybe taking a nap, because you're going from go, 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 especially if you're traveling a long distance to get to the retreat space, to all of a sudden you're supposed to integrate into this space where you have a very specific intention and a vibe, and it's likely a different intention and vibe from the go, 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 right? So you want to give yourself a little transition time, a little integration time. So whenever you get there, take the time in the space to integrate and then really create the culture, create the vibe that you need in order to fulfill the intention, fulfill the vibe, check all the things off that you want to get done, particularly in that space. All that to say, I don't recommend as soon as you walk in the door, immediately sitting down and starting work. I've found that that doesn't really work for me, for retreats at least. So how often do I take retreats? I get this question from time to time, and it has changed over the years. Prior to my retreat in April of this year, 2021, my last solo work retreat was May of 2020. It had almost been a year. But usually in non-pandemic type of years, I have tried to do a retreat 3 or 4 times a year. And yes, they each have different intentions and vibes and things like that. But usually what ends up happening is I can start to feel myself kind of getting anxious and itchy and like I'm ready to have some plan time and some alone time and some intentional working time on the business about every 3 or 4 months or so. But it might be different for you, and that's okay. So I hope this episode and me sharing about my own work retreats has sparked some ideas for you as far as you want to effectively plan a work retreat for yourself. And again, it gets to look like whatever you want it to look like. I'm just here to help spark ideas for you, to inspire different things that you might include as you are effectively planning your own work retreats. So I always like to end each and every episode with an action step that you can take right now to help you move forward and begin to implement immediately. Here is your action step for this episode. Design your ideal work retreat. What would the intention and the vibe be? What would you like to get done? How long would you be gone and where would you go? Who do you need to communicate with in order to make this retreat happen? And then if you feel so inclined, go start making these plans a reality. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to check out the Goal Get It podcast. If you never want to miss an episode, you can hit subscribe to make sure you're the first to get your new episode every single week. And if you'd like to connect outside your headphones, head on over to Instagram and DM me at workwithprocess. I can't wait to chat with you more. Chat soon.